Welcome to Talkathon with me, Suleiman Seth. This is Season 3, Episode 5, and today joining along with me are my two best friends, Aman and Shreyas, and we will be talking about our common passion for the love of football. In this episode, we will be sharing a lot of info on our liking for football, some of the best moments in football, the Indian football history, the football leagues that we follow, and the current status of leagues and the way forward. And also for a special part in the end, we will be discussing our all-time best 11 team. So going ahead, let us just start with discussing on what has been our special liking towards this game of football. For me personally, I have had a liking for football for over the last 9-10 years. I didn't know much about it, and it was basically Sportstar magazine which introduced me to the game. And from there on, I started watching different leagues. It was the Barclays Premier League, which was something that caught my eye. The fast-paced action of the game was something which enticed me a lot and enthralled me. And from there on, I started kicking the ball. And in school, football was considered as a big game for us. And we were able to compete along with teams at different levels. And from there on, there was no looking back, and the liking for the game has increased. So I'd like to know from my two friends, Aman and Shreyas, on what has been their liking for the game and how did they develop a liking for this game. Aman.
Thanks, Suleiman. 20 years ago, I heard about this team called Manchester United. I think it recently they won the Champions League, and they started, the advertisement of that team started coming up on Star Sports. And I was just seeing how they play and stuff, and I learned about football. It was a very casual thing for me. Up until then, you know, in 7th standard, this channel called Animex started, and they started showing some shows which was related like to football, like Captain Tsubasa and Hungry Heart. So that was like, that 1 hour was, while returning from school, the 1 hour was about football, and my interest rose in the football ever since. I also scored a goal from the midfield once during the school PT period, which really felt good. Rest, there are a lot of things. It's a very good game. It's a free-flowing game. What attracted me the most was the 2006 World Cup, you know, hosted by Harsha Bogle and others, which kind of, you know, I started supporting Japan and other countries, and I saw how football is really played and how it's being loved all over the world better than cricket. So that is how I started loving football.
Yeah, man. I remember we had some wonderful moments even in class 11 and class 12 when football was something we used to look forward between our busy periods. And I was probably always the best person at the goal. And I feel glad I was able to represent my school at multiple such competitions which happened, inter-school competitions where I was in goal and I made a contribution as well. So Shreyas, what has been your liking towards football? And before I forget everything, I also wanted to add one more point. What started out from school actually took me on to a club level as well, where I was having an opportunity to represent the ICF team for a year. I did make it onto a bigger level, but I could not continue due to certain personal commitments on my side. So to know more about football, I would like to hear what is Shreya's opinion and how he started developing a liking for football.
Yeah, thank you, Suleiman. Well, I remember very much about your days with ICF. Was it under 19, I believe, initially when you were the goalkeeper, and yeah, you used to run around from a pre-medical pre-medical classes to be in time for the coaching, and also run from the coaching back to the classes. Yeah, but personally, my interest in the game, in the beautiful game, started around 2001-2002, when we had our first decent television at home. It was a Thomson TV, and connected to the cable network, and we were fortunate back then that Star Sports and ESPN were free to air, still free to air, and the first game I watched when I was on some kind of a holiday or something, it was a Saturday or Sunday, I don't remember, and it was a beautiful match between Leeds and United, I think. playing at, I think it was, the game was played at Ellen Road in Leeds' home. I don't remember the score. I don't know who played, who did not play. I'm pretty sure Rio Ferdinand was playing for Leeds at that time. But that captivated me into the game. And whenever possible, I would watch another football game. Back, and at the same time, during my own school's PT periods, I used to play football. Always football. One of my favorite position to play was as a defender or as a right back. Even though back in those days I was pretty short, which meant I had to run faster to cover the ground, especially on the right flank. And I was very lousy in tackles as well. So I remember going a little too late to tackle and losing the ball and striking a couple of friends' legs. But sometimes I do take a. I would not say very good, but I was average when it came to dead ball situations. Sometimes I would take a. All of a sudden, I'll take a very good free kick, which would curl and go into the top right hand top corner of the goal. Sometimes it would be very weak and it would go with one bounce in. So I was an erratic player. I was not a professional per se. Check in with clubs, but back in those days we did not have professional clubs in our cities. So that was one hindrance in my development. But as a fan, as a person who watches football, I enjoy watching football even today.
Football is something that we are actually missing amidst this lockdown. But the best thing that we can do is recollect some of those memories of football. So starting with Aman, what has been your best football memory that you have seen, or so something that remains in your mind for quite some time?
As I mentioned, for me, what increased my interest in football was the 2006 World Cup, and one of the matches was the semi-final between Argentina and Germany, which was a very good match, and it was a cliffhanger until the very end. It's not the semi-final; it was the quarter-final, I believe. Argentina lost to Germany on. Extra time, and also the semi-final between Germany and Italy, which Germany lost in extra time due to a very good goal in the end by Italy. These were absolutely cliffhanger matches, and up until then you never felt which team would win, and it was more interesting than a particular cricket match happening at the same time. So that is my favorite memory of football at present.
Wonderful, Aman. So dating back to 2006, which we all remember how Italy won the World Cup back then. So Shreyas, your best football moments?
Well, my best football moments is pretty closer to the heart and way recent when compared to Aman's memory. My football moment, I'll try to paraphrase the commentary. Nani, Rooney scores! Comet the man, Comet the place. No, what a man at what a place. What a goal.
That is Rooney. So that's the fame.
Yeah, against Manchester. Yeah, bicycle goal against Manchester City at United, which pretty much gave us that particular year's league, I believe. Even when I just recollect, I get goosebumps, because A, the commentary was good, B, the cross was good, and the goal was fabulous. My moment.
Yeah,
and what about you?
I remember that, that particular kick with Rooney's bicycle kick was something very exceptional in that particular game. My best moment is something that has to do a lot with the club that I support. This is the Champions League final 2012, with Drogba winning as the Champions League, the biggest trophy in club history. But it's not just that one memory that I have about Chelsea winning. It dates back to even one match in the Champions League before where Torres scored a goal against Barcelona, which made a position confirmed in the Champions League final. So that is called like a 50 million goal. So that was something which I would really not forget. That particular season was like against all odds for Chelsea to go on and win the Champions League, especially after being robbed at a couple of instances by Barcelona and once, unfortunately, against Manchester United.
Well, that was a slip basically against United, but the subsequent year when it should have been another United-Chelsea final, and Barcelona, one can say, basically cheated their way into the final, but unfortunately Chelsea were robbed.
Three penalties.
Everybody remembers Drogba, you know, cursing and threatening in front of the camera as he goes down the tunnel, and also your memory of that Fernando Torres goal. I believe that was one. That was the only time he scored an open goal for Chelsea. I would reckon because he had previously missed one against United.
That's a funny Torres was absolutely prolific for Liverpool, but I don't know what happened to him when he went to Chelsea.
But he did
We can go into stats over there. Yeah, we can go into stats there because his form was dipping at Liverpool as well. So. Before he made the switch to Chelsea, but I think Chelsea bought him at an overly paid price.
They did buy him at an overly paid price, but he did make good contributions to Chelsea's Champions League winning team, and also the same year where they won the FA Cup final, also the next year when they went on to win the Europa League as well. He did manage to give a good contribution throughout, actually. It's not like he was a flop, but he still managed to give a decent contribution for the... I think that was expected out from him. So
yeah, he was a good player. He was a good player indeed.
So the next thing that we'll be discussing would be the leagues that we majorly follow. So Aman, what are the leagues that you follow?
I follow English Premier League, of course. Everyone follows that league. Apart from that, the Spanish league and the German league. I follow these three leagues most probably. Sometimes I do follow Italian league because right now, because of Ronaldo, that league has come back into prominence. Because before that, and due to the increased competition, because before it used to be just, only Juventus, you can say a Juventus league, because every time Juventus will win there. But now I've seen that Inter Milan and others have also made a comeback,
the Milan
and they're going strong.
Also been powerful, except for the fact that Juventus always had an upper hand.
Right. But AC Milan sadly has lost his shine. It's not, no matter what decisions they take, they are not able to come back into prominence.
Yes. Your league that you follow.
Well, I actually follow the top four leagues in the world. English Premier League, the Bundesliga, La Liga and Serie A. It all started with English Premier League, of course. And then La Liga, because 2003, 2004, 2005, 2006, these four seasons, La Liga, especially Real Madrid, were at their best with the Galacticos generation. And then alongside, there was one team which was conquering Europe, and the team was Cricket Club of Milan, which is also called as AC Milan, strangely. And that particular team, the team that they had assembled, was so powerful. They blew every other team over almost, except for once against Liverpool. And of course, Bundesliga of late, especially when Borussia Dortmund came back as a powerhouse in the region, and Borussia and Bayern Munich together, they have been, you know, fairly competent against each other. So, and also the fact that I live in Germany, I also follow Bundesliga.
Yes, my points are almost same with what you have.
I would like to add something to what Shreyas just mentioned about the Cricket Club of Milan. It started as a cricket and football club in Milan by an Englishman and it was supposed to be a place where cricket would be marketed in Italy, but that didn't take off and the club promptly became a football club. In fact, it's AC Milan and Inter Milan, because before they used to be one club when they divided after some time due to some dispute. So that's how it's also that's why it's also the cricket club of Milan too.
Talking about the leagues which I follow, I'm almost on par with what Shreya says, that the top four leagues specifically. And I would give the main reason that Champions League was my way forward to opening my eye towards following different leagues as well, because I wanted to understand how is it that, you know, the competency level is amongst different leagues and the different teams when they would be playing against the team which I follow. So we wanted to actually take a small break from the international football and focus a little on the domestic football in our own country. So India over the last few years is playing quite well in terms of football. So Aman wanted to actually give a small insight onto what the football has been over the years in India and what we can expect in the football of the future for the Indian football team.
Over to you, Aman, as you discussed the Indian football thing for us.
Yes, you know, when I hear about other countries being very good at football, Japan became very good at football when that anime series came and the interest spiked in that country, I was thinking about why a population of 1.3 billion people isn't good in football, especially when we have the oldest cup competition called Durand Cup, which was started in 1889. And we have a very good derby of Mohun Bagan and East Bengal, which is historic in West Bengal. It turns out that we were the giants of football in Asia in the 50s and 60s. We have great players like Shailendranath Manna, who was named as one 10 top captains in the world in 1953 by the English FA. And we have won the Asian Games gold medal and also the Asian Cup silver medal multiple times. And it was a really great period for that. It is said that in 1950, we were supposed to play the FIFA World Cup, but we couldn't play. Many say it was the reason because we were playing barefoot and we were disqualified. The reason was FIFA World Cup was not as prominent back then, and Olympics was given more importance generally. But we did give a good fight to many countries. We defeated South Korea in the Asian Games. We drawed with France in the one of the Olympics and gave Hungary, which were the champions, we were really good back then, for the money. So we were really good. But as you say, in 1980s, cricket came into the front seat and football went into decline in India. Now we are trying to, you know, make football rise again in India through various things, and you can say a bit of popularity of football has increased.
Yeah, man. Thank you. We are actually planning to discuss more on this, but due to the restrictions in time that we have planned for this episode, we will be moving on to the most important topic, that is the current status of football in the amongst the top four leagues. So, starting with the English, that is the Barclays Premier League at the moment, we are seeing that the Premier League chiefs are targeting for a return in June, and several clubs have actually reopened their training grounds as well in the last 1 week. So, what do you foresee with the Premier League coming into action? What will be the steps that they will be taking? Certain people are saying that there will be a neutral venue where the matches will be played, and an average of the points would be given for the top team. So what do you actually foresee? I guess there are around 92 matches which remain in the Premier League which needs to be played around if we have to complete the season. Or is it that the bad luck that Arjun Kapoor and Ranveer Singh are promoting football, that football is not performed so well at the Premier League, or is it that we are having a bad omen around with them? So what do you have to say, Shreyas, in regard to this?
Well, with respect to the omen part, I would say, as a Manchester United fan, I think because Liverpool were so close to clinch the title, I think the curse of the Zimbabwean witch has come back to haunt them. But yeah, all globally the leagues have been stranded, have been stopped in the middle. Only a handful of leagues, like in Tajikistan, Kyrgyzstan, Turkmenistan are running, and those are not leagues that you can sit and watch per se. And also Belarus. The English Premier League are looking, they are waiting for the government orders, they are waiting for the government's information, when to start, how to start. Because, but as far as precedence is concerned, many European FAs are looking into the precedent set by the Belgian, Dutch and the French leagues and the French government, who have cancelled their leagues, and some have actually awarded the cup to the team that was leading the table. For example, PSG in Ligue 1. But at the same time, in Germany, they have decided to restart the league next week. So same time next week, I'll be sitting and watching a football match, hopefully, touching the wood. But that's also, every country is experimenting how to do it, and yeah, if to do it and how to do it. So right now, Germany has put its hand up and saying we are going to set precedent of restarting the league. The French president was also asking the German national government not to do it, not to go ahead with it, because it might endanger the players' lives and etc. But the German clubs have come together and they have started training as well. All eyes are on the German league. If they do run it without any problems, probably you can see English Premier League starting in June. The La Liga also starting in May, in the month towards the end of May, and Serie A is also planning to start by May end, depending on the results from Germany.
Yes, sir. Thank you for giving us an overall insight onto what we have been discussing. And I also see that even if the matches start, it will be played behind closed doors, and we will not be having much audience. So it is only going to be live telecast of these matches played at neutral venues, as I majorly see. So going forward, you know, this is something which I was being expecting majorly as a part of this discussion and in this podcast, that is discussing the all-time best 11 for each position. So are you ready for it, Aman and Shreyas? Yes. Okay, so the rule in this is going to be that we are going to talk one position by position that we will be talking, and we will get to decide who we feel is the best for the position. So this is going to be all-time 11, and talking about the formation first, I guess we can go with a 4-4-2 formation or a 4-3-3 formation.
I would suggest a 4-4-2 because it provides us a proper, you know, striking partners. We can also go ahead with the 4-4-2 diamond if we want number 10 in the middle. So I would suggest the 4-4-2.
I believe in
give midfield diversity in that.
Yeah, 4-4-3-3 gives us more attacking prominence, but there's always a problem with, you know, either are we going to go with the 4-3-3 midfielder as a DFM, or are you going to use him as an attacking midfielder in the number 10 role? So
exactly,
it would be a 4-2-3-1, 4-3-3 hybrid.
Yeah, I feel more or less like 4-4-2 gives a good balance to the team as well. Okay, starting position by position. So whom do you think would be the best goalkeeper? I personally would want to go with Petr Cech for all the records that he has maintained at the club level, and for having won the player of the year in Czech Republic for, I guess, 13 years in a row.
Yeah, but one cannot ignore many legendary goalkeepers, especially the Soviet Union's goalkeeper.
Lev Yashin. Yeah.
So he's
the only goalkeeper to win the Ballon d'Or.
Yes.
Ballon d'Or. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So if you are going to go with an all-time 11, then you should go with Lev Yashin at, between the sticks. Or if you want even more prolific modern-day goalkeepers, one can say Peter Schmeichel is there.
Yes.
Oliver Kahn. Manuel Neuer was much more better than...
Buffon and Casillas could also be added to that list.
Yes, indeed. But But if you also want a screening goalkeeper, then Peter Schmeichel can also come in.
Okay. Yes, right.
I believe Peter Schmeichel was one of the best as well in his prime, and his son is actually taking his legacy as well.
But he won't equal his father.
Father, definitely.
Not yet. Yeah, he's well into his mid-30s now.
Yes. So I personally would say Schmeichel here again. Maybe from Petrček, I'm moving to Schmeichel. You both agree on this?
Yeah, of course.
Fine.
Right.
Who will not agree with Peter Schmeichel unless you are Gary Neville?
You are talking to two Manchester United fans, man.
Talking of Gary Neville, let's go to right back.
Yes.
Right back. Right.
So when you talk of right backs, you have legendary right backs like Gary Neville, of course. Sergio Ramos started off as a right back, but he would be a better center back person, a player. You have Trent Alexander-Arnold, who's a creative right back right now.
Mm-hmm.
He's the one who's the creative player in the entire Liverpool setup. Then you do have others.
I personally believe over a period of time, even Jesus Navas did a very good role of the left back for quite some time, I guess.
Yeah, but he was a converted winger. Okay, yes. Exactly. So naturally, when you say as a right back, you can go with the current crop. You can go with
what Aaron about?
I think
Jordi
Alba is also another player. You know that we can actually.
Yeah, Jordi Alba is also good, but.
I think in the recent past, I guess Jordi Alba would be my choice.
Yeah, but there is one right back who will always be supreme.
You guys are forgetting two right about backs, actually. Danny Alves.
Exactly, Danny Alves and Ashley Cole.
Yes, Ashley Cole is more of a right back.
Yes.
Yeah, we are talking of right back.
Yeah.
So Danny Alves is a right back. I think he had a very
Ashley
good
Cole
impact.
Ashley Cole is a left back. I'm sorry. Ashley Cole is not. Yeah. Then he's a left back. You're talking about right back. So we have Trent Alexander-Arnold at the moment.
Yeah, but there's one player who's still playing in his 40s, close to 40. Danny Alves.
Yes.
Danny Alves.
Yes.
He's fit. Yes. He's really fit at that age also.
Yes. So Trent Alexander-Arnold versus Danny Alves, final.
Yeah, Danny Alves any day.
Okay. So the right
experience.
Back,
he's not spacey, but still. Yes. All time great, Danny Alves, yes.
Okay. This is more of our generation type.
Yeah, whom we've seen.
Yeah. Now coming on to the
highlights.
Coming on to the left back, I am going to root in for Ashley Cole here, and I don't have any second opinion for the choice of left back.
I have two words for you, Roberto Carlos.
Okay.
I am also with Shreyas. That iconic moment of him scoring.
Yes.
No, but that's completely fixed in everyone's mind.
Yes. Yeah. That impossible.
Fabian Barthez was fluff. Yeah.
Right. Right.
That impossible free kick, but I'm seeing in terms of the overall contribution here. That is why I'm rooting in for Ashley Cole.
Yeah, but I agree overall contribution. But because Roberto Carlos in that Real Madrid team, that all conquering Real Madrid team.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, look, in the Premier League, Ashley Cole, he was instrumental in Arsenal's success. He was instrumental in Chelsea's success later on, and. He's still fairly fit. He was playing for Derby until last season.
Yes, and now
so longevity. Yes. Their coaching squad, but longevity, yes, very good. Roberto Carlos for that magic moments.
Maybe Roberto Carlos gives an overhand in terms of his strength and the free kick taking.
He has a good, very good attacking ability too. He can set pieces and stuff like that.
Look, Ashley Cole and Roberto Carlos are fairly good when it goes to attack. Okay? And Ashley Cole is better when it comes back to defending.
Yes.
Defending the line.
Right.
Agreed over there. But the magical moments, Roberto Carlos would edge. But I would not say, I would not go wrong if I would say Ashley Cole is also better.
Okay.
Because
but so fine.
He is also a once in a generation left back.
Yes. So, I think amongst that position, we have to give the upper hand to Roberto Carlos here for the magical moments and for his strength, majorly his strength, I would like to say.
Yeah. Ashley Cole on the bench, certainly, any day.
Yeah.
Right.
So, now coming to the two centre-backs. So, we'll have
centre-halves.
My option is Van Dijk and Ramos.
No problems with it.
I would want to go with Van Dijk and Puyol. I want to make my point.
Yeah.
Now we have a problem.
Let's talk about the person who won the Ballon d'Or, Fabio Cannavaro.
Yeah.
He has an impact. If let's break the rule that for whom we have seen playing the players we have seen play, Franz Beckenbauer for Germany in the 70s.
Yeah, but look, I agree. Even if we are choosing a centre-back partnership, it is a partnership.
Yes.
One has
to
you know, comprehend the other.
Yes.
So when you go with Van Dijk is physical. Yes, he's quick in covering back his lines.
Yes.
He plays a little forward.
Yes.
And there needs to be another one who is screening behind him.
Yes, and I think Van manages that.
See, I think when we have two side backs who are very attacking options, we would love to have our defenders as rock solid at the back.
Yes, and Puyol was rock solid. There is nothing taking it away from him.
Right.
Yeah,
he'll fight for the ball.
Yes, and that's
yeah, exactly.
That is the reason why I wanted to say Puyol ahead of John Terry. Not taking nothing away from John Terry over his legendary career, but definitely. I would want to put Van Dijk and Puyol way ahead.
Yeah, I would agree with Van Dijk and Puyol.
Maybe
it would mean I'm not. It might not. It might. I would like the listeners not to say that I'm not taking Rio Ferdinand or Nemanja Vidic into the picture as well. But Rio Ferdinand and Van Dijk have similar characteristics
yes.
as far as defending is concerned. And Puyol and Vidic are similar. You know, they are the destroyers in the
yes.
defense.
Yes, yes.
Okay. Even Fabio Cannavaro is also a destroyer.
To an extent.
Destroyer.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay,
yes.
Now coming to the midfield. So we are running out of time, so we really need to move on this fast midfield and forward.
So we are doing a 4-4-2 midfield
yes.
once more.
Yes.
So
right.
We'll first go to the number 8s.
Yes.
Directly.
That is Gerard versus Lampard, but we also need to consider the Iniesta as well.
Yeah.
Yes.
And. Firstly, I would say we'll first name on the sheet should be Serge Roberto.
Okay, Sergio Roberto. A very good
yeah.
defensive midfielder.
Exactly. So you have the screener in between who can double up when in position
mm-hmm.
as a you know as a screener ahead of the center halves.
Yes.
So first name on the sheet should be Sergio Roberto.
And partnering with him.
Alternatively, you can go for Fernandinho in the same position, but Sergio Roberto any day.
Yes.
Yeah.
What about Busquets?
Sergio Busquets actually, he's...
Yeah, sorry. My bad. I got confused with Sergio Busquets.
Yes, I was thinking
Roberto.
About
my
the
bad,
same thing.
My bad, yeah. But yeah, Sergio Roberto is more of right back and also coupling up as defensive midfield in the same
yes.
Barcelona team right now.
Yes.
But yeah, Sergio Busquets.
Yeah. Sergio Busquets
partnering with
Sergio... I think
partnering Sergio Busquets, we need a good mezzala or a box-to-box midfielder.
Yes.
Now we can have the conversation
Dante.
Of Steven Gerrard, Frank Lampard, or Paul Scholes.
Yes.
Well, we can go on and on and on and on.
We can talk about Iniesta, but Iniesta was more attacking though.
You know, one thing about Paul Scholes is that his passes made a mark whenever. His long passes
yes.
or short passes always made a mark.
Yes.
You know,
he was
fact,
a very good
story
deep line
playmaker.
Yes.
Right. Ronaldo has
so, yeah.
a story that his passes were really accurate.
So now who's going to
exactly.
partner? Now who's going to partner with Sergio Busquets?
A good partner with Sergio Busquets, who's box to box,
yes.
who has the creative something.
Yes.
We can not overlook one person who's currently the manager of Real Madrid, and his name is Zinedine Zidane.
Okay, cool. So I'm
right.
with Zidane. Okay, now the other two wing midfielders.
So, wingers.
Yes.
So, when we go for wingers, I would say we can go for a creative winger on one side. And definitely, there's going to be David Beckham.
Yes, and they're not taking it away from him.
Yes.
Yeah.
His free kicks will be more valuable.
Yes. And now
more than free kicks, it's the creativity from the
right.
flanks.
Yes.
So we have one creativity from the Franks in the form of Roberto Carlos. The other side is David Beckham.
Yes. And the other
and
thing with David
on,
Beckham is that, you know, he is able to contribute by putting in those balls, you know, those balls to for the forwards to attack. So we need to keep that in mind, you know, when
exactly.
selecting a forward. David Beckham will be
yeah.
giving in those passes, those crosses which our forward should be able to head majorly or take it on the chest and finish on a volley. Yes.
Exactly.
So the other football, the other winger.
So on the left, on the left winger.
Yes.
We can go for. We have a lot of options from Ryan Giggs.
Just let me clarify.
Joko.
Iron Robin was actually quite a legend at Iron Robin.
Right wing.
Yes.
He was a right winger.
Yes.
David Beckham can play on the right and the left, so no issues with that.
Iron Robin.
Yeah. Iron Robin. Any day.
Yeah, Robin also had his contribution at Chelsea and at Bayern for quite some time.
Yeah, and Robin can also look when on his left foot, cut in and shoot.
And
he can give you an exactly, and he'll give you the third manpower in the box when David becomes ready to cross.
Yes,
and so we have a three-man forward at that time.
Yes, and being very frank, you know, I really like Robin and his left foot specifically. Anytime he's cutting on his left, you know, and he's going to take a shot, he's definitely going to finish it at the back of the net.
Even though his opponents
used to predict the same thing, they couldn't stop him.
Yes, exactly. No, that is true. That is very true.
Thanks.
Yeah. Now, the most important part of our forward.
Number 9s.
Yes.
Number 11, number 9.
We are forgetting we are in a generation of Ronaldos and Messi. So, here is going to be a very big task in selecting who is going to be. Because I really have this position has actually been in my mind for quite some time. There is Ronaldo, there is Messi, there is Cristiano Ronaldo. We have Lewandowski at the moment as well. He is also doing a great job.
Let's not forget Ibrahimovic.
Ibrahimovic has also been there, but he's been in little inconsistent.
Aguero has been very controversial. Gabriel Jesus.
To an extent, yes.
He's not had the time, but whenever he comes on, he scores. So yes. Gabriel Jesus is good.
Yes.
So what about Del Piero?
Del Piero was more.
Alessandro Del Piero.
He was a forward.
He was also a forward.
He was played as a forward as well.
So. I would say we need one target man for the crosses.
Okay.
And.
We've seen a lot of
target men. I would say no one comes close to Didier Drogba.
Didier Drogba for his ability to attract the ball specifically. It might be difficult over here to oversee him over the magic which the Messi and the Ronaldo might provide. But the ability of him to actually draw the defenders close and take the ball away from them was magical.
Yeah. And also as a target man, he was very physical. He's a physical number 9.
Yes.
So and whenever you get those crosses coming in, those beautiful crosses coming in from Roberto Carlos and David Beckham, and
you
also
want,
to an extent from
someone to finish it. You know, someone with a strong heading ability, or someone who can
exactly
take it on their chest and finish it. Definitely Drogba.
Yeah.
Seems a good.
We can Drogba, Berbatov, Van Persie are there, but I would say
Drogba
for that instinct.
Yes.
For that raw instinct that he brings in.
Yes, and the final player who will complete our 11.
Now comes the difficult part because everybody will say,
"We need a striking partner for Drogba."
Yeah, and everybody will say you can't overlook Cristiano Ronaldo, you cannot overlook Lionel Messi because they are the best players in
the reason for that is sheer number of goals they have scored over their careers.
Yes. Especially, but we also have to consider the balance we are trying to bring in our imaginary team,
because it's
more of a direct approach, which was it's more like the Arsene Wenger, not really Arsene Wenger, but Mourinho, Alex Ferguson approach of 1989, which was pretty direct with a target man and one who plays off the target man.
Yes.
So, like Ole Gunnar Solskjaer or Dwight York.
Yes. And he should be someone who is able to run between the defenders and, you know, get those passes as well.
Yeah, so dribbles.
Yes. So here, I think currently, though I'm a big Ronaldo fan, but I think Messi will be able to partner well with Drogba.
Yes.
Purely because of dribbling skills.
Yes.
Exactly. Even if we do replace Drogba with Cristiano Ronaldo, those two will partner very well. Ronaldo is also a good target man right now.
Yes.
He's playing as a target 9.
Correct. And he also has very good air presence. I mean, nobody can jump as high as Ronaldo does.
Yeah, yeah. But we saw that recently, of course. Yeah.
But talking in terms of the physical power and in terms of the calmness, I think Drogba has an upper hand there. Yeah. Okay, Drogba doesn't dive.
Definitely.
Okay.
Well, he does score diving headers, so that's good. I remember one, I think in Moscow.
Yes.
I don't remember. I don't know which place.
Okay, now yeah. I'm just saying the whole team once again. So we are having Michael in goal. We are going to be having left back of Roberto Carlos, two centre back of Van Dijk and Puyol, the right back of Dani Alves. The two defensive midfielders will be Sergio Busquets and Zinedine Zidane. And we will be having the
central midfielders, not yeah. defensive, but yeah.
Yeah, kind of.
Yeah.
And our two attacking midfielders will be Robin and David Beckham. And striking partners will be Messi and Drogba. So the Drogba. Biggest question now comes, who is going to be managing this team?
Saf.
No.
Come on, you can't. Look, the entire squad... actually it talks of it actually is an essence of Saf's game plan,
right?
It goes to an extent, but I guess we need someone more prolific who can actually
because primarily because it's more of the attack would be more of a wing attack with more focus on counter attacks also, so I think Sir Alex Ferguson would be a real good fit for that.
Fine. Okay, I take 2-1 in this case, and I would go with Alex Ferguson.
But what was your option?
Option was more to go with Ancelotti actually, because he also does quite well.
Yeah, 4-4-2 Ancelotti is.
Yes.
Yeah. Right. 4-4-2 right. Ancelotti. Yes, that's correct. That is absolutely correct.
So, but
we can also say Pep Guardiola, you know, because he also expects his wingers to stick to the
plan.
Bylines, yeah. So that's also.
And
also,
we do have some core players of his.
What?
We do have some core players of Pep Guardiola in this team.
Yeah, of course.
But it's more of a passing game that he maintains rather than an attacking game. So right. He's not.
Yeah. Right, of course.
Position based. Yeah.
Okay. Anyway, so we have come to the end of this episode. So I hope you liked our talk on football. So if you want to share anything with us, do reach out to me and do share your valuable inputs. I hope you're all staying safe. Have a great weekend and do reach out to me for anything. Thank you. Have a great time ahead.